Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher and current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing schools become bastions of creativity and wonder. And I'm passionate about seeing students embrace this maker mindset. And so I'm still learning, I'm still exploring, I'm still figuring out things like creativity and design thinking. And this podcast right here is where I share what I'm learning along the way. And you can find this at creativeclassroompodcast.com. And a quick request before we dive into this topic, if you enjoy this podcast at all, would you leave a review on iTunes? That is what helps people find this podcast, and that would mean the world to me. So again, if you enjoy it, just leave a review. That would be awesome. So when we think about creativity and innovation, the words humor and goofiness don't typically come to mind. But I'd argue that this is actually a critical piece of what it means to cultivate a climate of creativity. And so that's why today we're going to explore how humor boosts creative thinking and problem solving in the classroom. Here's what I mean. One of the worst pieces of advice I hear people give new teachers is to, quote, not smile until Christmas. And you can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes right now. There's this fear that smiling, goofing off, having fun, cracking a joke, that this will send a message to students that their teacher isn't serious about real learning. The students will act crazy, chaos will ensue, desks will fly, trash cans will burn. You get the idea. But I found the opposite to be true. Humor, goofiness, joy, fun, these were actually vital to developing a creative classroom culture. And I want to point out that I didn't always do things right in the classroom and with my culture. There were times when I yelled at a class or I shamed a student or I just created a place that was boring. But in those moments where things didn't work, where the classroom climate went negative and went bad, it wasn't because I was joking around. It was because I was taking myself too seriously. On the other hand, in those moments of humor, in those moments when I was able to goof off, student engagement was higher, behavior issues were less prevalent, and our classroom was honestly a lot more creative. And here's what I mean. I used to have this wordplay wall in the back of the room. It was a whiteboard. It was a space on the whiteboard. And I would draw ridiculously bad dad jokes. Things like fire drill with a drill firing another drill who's crying because he just got fired. Or slow jams where it's literally a jar of jam running slowly. Or a graduated cylinder who says, I may not be graduated, but I am working on my GED. And these were just dumb, bad jokes, teacher jokes. You get the idea. We had Easter eggs hidden all around the classroom. Things like a Darth Vader that was hidden in the TV space. And we had a Lego figure that we called the special that was at the top of the board. And you had to look closely to find him. Things like that. If someone asked you to share a link, we had our own version of Rickrolling. And what would happen is if you said, hey, could you share a link with me? You had to share a link instead. And that meant you had to send them a short link to a music video from Share. Now, if you check it out on this blog post on spencerauthor.com, I also have a video aimed at new teachers where I talk about this, because I think it's important that new teachers in particular understand that it's okay for them to smile. They should smile. They can be goofy. That's actually a hidden attribute. Now, at first, I thought of this as comic relief. This was the icing on the cake, and I secretly wondered if I was like getting away with something. But eventually, I ran into a guy named Dean Shoresky, who had an earth-shattering perspective for me. Maybe joy wasn't meant to be a reward. Maybe it wasn't supposed to be a means to an end, but an end in itself. Maybe a space of joy is exactly what kids need simply because they're kids. And yeah, it was a great TED Talk on this subject. Again, you can see it in the show notes. It's inside of the blog post. But I think there's this other hidden benefit that goes on. I've come to believe that joy, humor, and overall goofiness are actually vital for creativity. And so I'm going to share some reasons why. Number one, humor encourages creative risk-taking. There is a very real vulnerability to humor, especially when, whether we want to admit it or not, we are trying to be humorous or at least witty. And in these moments, if it fails, it really sucks. Ever tell a joke that just doesn't work? It is horrible. And I'll give an example. I put up a treble clef in my classroom and I wrote, "I knew you were treble when you walked in," quoting Taylor Swift, and nobody laughed. In fact, it just tanked and it was horrible. So you get the idea. These moments, well, they kind of suck. And the next day I wrote this thing that was Darth Vader's to-do list. And it has things like work on the Death Star, lightsaber practice, Pilates and hot yoga, pick up dry cleaning, get new asthma medication, destroy a distant planet, gardening while listening to cereal. You get the idea. And I was so worried, not so worried, that's not true, but I just knew that it might tank again. And the truth is, many of my students did find that second one to be kind of stupid. They rolled their eyes, they said things like, "You're just like my dad." But something else happened. This moment of goofiness, these daily dumb jokes on the back of the board, sketched out when I'm clearly not an artist, well, it changed the classroom culture. It gave students the permission to be goofy and nerdy and even whimsical. And in the process, it gave people the permission to have their own unique creative voice. I think this quirkiness infused the entire classroom culture. Students internalized an unspoken message that it's okay to be different. In fact, that's precisely what makes each kid awesome. Number two, humor develops divergent thinking. So my oldest son started listening to Jim Gaffigan albums, comedy albums, on his Spotify account. He's, you know, in middle school right now, so you get the idea. And he loves it because Jim Gaffigan challenges our cultural perspectives and points out life's little ironies in a way that is fun and playful. This is why at our house now we call Valentine's candy gamble chocolate and muffins bald cupcakes. That's because of Jim Gaffigan. The more he gets into these comedy albums, the more likely my son is to point out the strange little ironies of life. Now, this isn't a dark or sardonic sense of humor. It's just the strange little, "I wonder why," blank questions. The truth is, most humor is a chance to see things from a new perspective. Prop humor is essentially a divergent thinking exercise in using an item the wrong way. So even if I can't stand Carrot Top, I gotta give him credit that he is creative. A pun is essentially a chance to use language incorrectly in order to get a laugh. Now, some people hate puns, I get that. And I hate fart jokes, so there you go. And most physical humor. But the fact that I like it or don't like it doesn't mean it's more or less creative. All of these strands of humor have a common notion of seeing things from a different angle. In other words, they utilize divergent thinking. Now, divergent thinking is a spontaneous, free-flowing, non-linear thinking process. It's kind of the opposite of what we think of as convergent or convergent thinking. Now, when you are thinking divergently, you're looking at things from new perspectives. You're finding new uses for common ideas and objects. You're rewriting the rules and questioning everything. I have an example on this blog of a divergent thinking exercise, you can check it out, that I use with students. But beyond doing divergent thinking exercises, there's something you can do in the classroom to encourage divergent thinking that leads to creativity. And that's essentially using humor, just integrating it into what you do. Number three, humor models curiosity and playfulness. When teachers use humor, especially observational humor, they're modeling a certain kind of curiosity and a willingness to look at life from a different angle. While this might not seem like an inherently creative act, curiosity is often the starting point for creativity. There's this ongoing cycle of wondering why and then making. At some point, you move from questioning and exploring into a creative process. When teachers share humorous observations, they're actually modeling curiosity. And over time, this becomes a part of the classroom culture. I noticed this back when I worked with a creative, witty teacher named Allison. She was a phenomenal social studies teacher. And her quick wit, which was never really sarcastic, although sometimes she would call it sarcastic, it was really just ironic and quick-witted. And her humorous observations, well, they became a part of the classroom culture. And I'd argue that this wittiness was a key element of why she had such a creative classroom culture. It was a relaxed, non-threatening way to just question everything. And it also provided comic relief in the classroom so that when she did go deep with them and ask them to think hard or even engage in things that were emotionally more difficult in history, she was able to do that because they had laughed together. Now, this curiosity looks a little bit different in different classes. With younger grades, it's going to look more like playfulness and a sense that you're not going to take yourself too seriously. It might mean dressing up funny or talking in a silly voice or whatever younger classrooms do. And in that moment, it might not seem like a big deal. But actually, teachers are modeling this same playfulness and curiosity, the same willingness to do things in a different way. And the humor is actually really closely related to creating that culture of wonder and curiosity. Number four, humor boosts creative problem solving. So a few years ago, I had a chance to hang out with this guy, Zach Chase. He's one of my favorite people that I've met online. And for what it's worth, Zach is one of the smartest dudes I know. He can quickly move from topic to topic, making connections between ideas, asking deep questions, and ultimately solving problems. And when I ask him where he developed that ability, that connective thinking, that way of just doing things differently at all times, he gave a one-word answer. Improv. No, really. Doing improv. That was his solution. I expected like some book he read or some cool experience that he did that was, you know, academic or maybe something, I don't know, but improv was his answer. For the next few minutes, Zach described the connection between improvisational humor and things like empathy, problem solving, and divergent thinking. Now, I had always seen improv as something goofy. Fun and funny, yes, but not all that cognitively demanding. But as Zach described the improv process, I realized that he was onto something. Now, there's this interesting article in Psychology Today that explores this connection between humor in ideation, brainstorming, and creativity. And one line stuck out to me. There's a reason for this, it reads. Laughter can help people solve problems that demand creative solutions by making it easier to think more broadly and associate ideas and relationships more freely. In other words, it allows you to be more original. I forgot to say end quote. It was after freely, so there you go. Now it's me speaking and not Psychology Today. But anyway, the science behind this is really fascinating. I'm going to mess up the name. I realize this, but Karuna Subramanian ran a research study at Northwestern University where people watched various genres of videos. She then had participants engage in problem-solving tasks, word associations, and brainstorming. Now, this was both divergent and convergent thinking that they engaged in. And afterwards, she found that those who watched comedy videos scored better in every area of creative problem solving than those who watched horror or lectures on quantum electronics. And the results were really interesting. Those who watched the comedy videos scored far better in every area of creative problem solving, divergent, convergent, everything else, than those who watched a horror film or who watched a lecture on quantum electronics. The idea is that humor creates a lightened mood and a mental spaciousness, I love that term, that makes it easier to engage in connective thinking. And it reminds me of the research around going for long walks or taking naps or exercising. There's something about this sense of space that leads to flexible and original thinking. In another study, Barry Kudrowitz demonstrated that improvisational humor increases ideation because there's this transferable skill of relating seemingly unrelated ideas. And in other words, improv and observational humor that goes with it actually allows you to be better at brainstorming. So that basically confirms exactly what Zach said, that improv is a part of why he's able to think divergently and connectively and solve complex problems in unusual ways. Number five, creative humor leads to creative fluency. Creativity doesn't have to just be functional and utilitarian. It doesn't have to be big and bold and life-changing. It can be silly and small and goofy. And when that happens, students are reminded that creative work doesn't have to lead to a greater end. It can be an end in and of itself. When kids make robots or do cardboard challenges or engage in creative writing, they can do these things for the simple reason that there is joy in doing creative work. Now, interestingly enough, those goofy things, those small things that don't seem to be about life skills, they become the very creative acts that lead to bigger and better things. There's a great quote from Clay Shirky where he describes this idea that the stupidest creative act is still a creative act. And he says, the real gap isn't between mediocre and great work. The real gap is between getting started and doing nothing. If you have created something, even if it's stupid, you've put yourself in a position to do more. Unquote. I love this idea that if we choose to be creative in the small things, if we embrace the goofy and the silly and the ridiculous and the humorous, we have embraced that mindset, that creative mindset, that allows us to then be creative on the big things. I'd argue that this is actually a vital part of creative fluency, of that ability to maneuver around creative ideas, of being able to build creative habits. And so I would argue that if we really want creative classrooms, one of the things that costs no money and takes no real training is to simply be more goofy and to laugh more and to have more fun and to infuse your classroom climate and culture with humor. So thanks for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. Again, if you enjoy this at all, you can find it at creativeclassroompodcast.com. Please subscribe if you haven't done that already and leave a review on iTunes. That helps people find this podcast. Feel free at any time to drop me a line. You can tweet me at Spencer Ideas, or you can send me an email at john@spencerauthor.com. Love hearing from people. Have a wonderful day and keep on creating.